Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am excited to have Marsh Engel as my guest today. Marsh Engel is the author of The Sacred Agreement, a book based upon her acclaimed work that's moved thousands of women to liberate the indisputable power of their passions and purpose. She is a lifestyle entrepreneur, life success coach, and keynote speaker. The creative mastermind behind dozens of wildly successful brands, Marsh is sought after as a consultant to women who want to manifest their dream and live inspired careers doing what they love full time. Her groundbreaking programs, live events, and speaking engagements have been instrumental in launching the life success and entrepreneurial dreams of thousands of women worldwide. Join us for a conversation about Marsh Engel's new book, The Sacred Agreements, and find out what it takes to live on purpose, passionately, and unapologetically. Welcome, Marsh.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. And I just have to say that I love the title of your show, Love Your Music. It couldn't be better.
Love Your Music. Yeah, I know. I love it, too. I appreciate that you really get a lot. It all started out with Wayne Dyer saying, don't die with your music still in you. And I wanted to say it without the don't and without the die. So it's about living your music, and you are such an example of living the music you hear calling you. I'm so excited to talk to you about this inspiring book that you've written and
your
other work.
Thank you. The Sacred Agreements is a body of work that has been moving through me, and I've been teaching it for a lot of years. I laughed and said when the book released that it's the book that took me 8 years, 6 months, 24 days, 12 hours, and 3 minutes to write because it was a book that I began to write and then I began to teach it. And something magical and powerful happens when we begin to write something, but then when we begin to teach it. When we begin to teach it, it evolves within us, and we begin to embody it. And that's really what happened with the Sacred Agreements. I began to evolve it and embody it because as I was teaching it, it would teach me. And I would learn from my clients, and I would learn from the myriad of thousands of women that I spoke with and listened to and really wanted to know what was it that lit up their world, what was it that brought them to a sense of purpose and to really live their passion in a way that was meaningful in their lives. And that's really where the Sacred Agreements came from. It came from my own studies and my own deep, deep desire to connect more fully because I had a life that was pretty much, when I started out, pretty much falling apart. Everything that I thought was important, I found wasn't important. My business went away, my career fell apart, my house went away, my everything, even my dog died. It was pretty messy
no.
And not very pretty. And so, you know, something pretty incredible happens when you really desire to know how to live a more awakened life is that everything around you, well, one way or another, it seems to be either through a health crisis or through a divorce or through a loss of a business or a career or you know, whatever it is that comes to us, that kind of a wake-up call for us to dig deeper. And that's exactly where writing the Sacred Agreements came from. And from that inspiration and from that deep dive and study came a beautiful, powerful body of work that I do believe is here to influence and impact in a powerful, creative way. And I pray that to be.
Oh, wow. How long ago did all those terrible things happen?
Well, you know, it started in January 15th of 1999. I just posted a beautiful memory and tribute to my mom because my mom died on January 15th of 99. And when she died, it was the beginning of what became my own investigation of what we'll call a search for the amazing woman. And a search for the amazing woman brought me into a deeper desire to know what is it to truly be connected with my creativity, truly be connected with my power to live a more authentic life. And my mom's passing, and then from there I was diagnosed with a really intense health diagnosis that took me on a journey into energy psychology and studying with mm-hmm. some pretty incredible spiritual teachers that took me into a brand new world of working with my energy to heal. Wayne Dyer, by the way, being one of my biggest inspirations along the way. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you named your show at Love Your Music after his inspiration, because he was incredible inspiration to my healing journey. And then my dad died, and all of this. So my mom died. I got this diagnosis of lymphoma. My dad died all within 18 months. And something, you know, when I look at that, reflect back on that time, it feels so intense and really scary. But today, the way I look at it is that it was that awakening that brought me to the work that I have such a passion for today, and that's inspiring and uplifting and encouraging the creativity of women, specifically women. Men, I coach men as well, but I love seeing women successful and the creativity of women making a major transformation in the world.
Wow. You know, you're right. I mean, I think sometimes it takes a wake-up call of some sort to really get you to say, hey, I've got to make some changes. And, you know, and I've seen that happen with so many people that I've known, and also even clients of mine, you know, where they're just kind of living unconsciously, I guess, you know, and
you know,
and then
it's such
all
a great
sudden,
point.
Something makes
yeah.
you wake up.
Yeah, I had subtle hints along the way. I had opportunities to sell my business. I had opportunities to shift my lifestyle. I had opportunities to go into spiritual study, and all different types of opportunities presented themselves. But as you said, I was unconscious to the power of what my life was showing me. My life was actually showing me that a shift was ready to be made many years, I will tell you, multiple years before the big experience that I had where everything fell away. So I do believe that we are given opportunities to see our life from a perspective of where is it guiding me, what's it showing me, how is it urging me in a new direction, what is it asking me to learn, before we go into a big, you know, a drama of chaos like I experienced. And I oftentimes will tell a client, look, you know, learn from the chaos I went through. We don't have to create chaos in order for shifts and dynamic transformation to take place. But it seems as though many times that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I totally agree that you don't have to go through all that. It just, unfortunately, for some people, that's what it takes for them to take the time out of their life to listen to what their spirit's trying to tell them. So, you know, learning from other people's experience, boy, that's one of my favorite ways to learn. I don't know if you've ever read Napoleon Hill's book, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude, but I read that back when I was 23, and one of the chapters is about what he calls OPE, OPE, other people's experience. And it's about learning from other people's experience. And I think Tony Robbins also talks about that too, about modeling people's successes and learning from what they do, their failures. And so, you know, a lot of times you can learn a lot of that by observing other people or having a coach or reading books and things like that. But sometimes I think in order to get over your fear of making the changes, sometimes you have to maybe hit rock bottom for some people before they...
And I think also we can get really good, which is a lot about what the Sacred Agreements is really intended to bring to us, is that we can get really good at noticing what life is speaking to us, how it's showing us, how it's guiding us, the opportunities that come to us, the people that we encounter and meet, even overhearing as simple as it sounds, but overhearing conversations that are really inspiring to us or moving us in a direction. I just think that many times we are undervaluing or in the busyness of our day. For me, I can speak, back in 99, it was the busyness of continually leaning forward into what I thought I needed to be creating or what I thought my goal should be and what I thought my achievement should symbolize. And, I was really leaning forward so much that I missed the current moment and undervalued what was coming to me. So I believe that what the sacred agreements is really about is noticing how those sacred agreements are playing out in our life every day, that the way we encounter people and the way we encounter opportunities and the way we encounter choices, the way we encounter the way we think about things can always be shifted and expanded in a way that can become very, very powerful for us as guides to where our life is directing us. I do believe that our life has a rhythm of direction, that we are being guided into destiny, and that if we can stay still enough, long enough, we can begin to hear that rhythm and begin to stay true to it. And that's really what the sacred agreements is intended to inspire within all of us.
I love that we can hear it. And in order to hear that, hear what's calling us, we need to be able to get quiet enough and not be just, like you said, just on fast forward, trying to get to the next thing and reaching all these goals and being who everybody else wants us to be and expects us to be and tells us we can be or should be,
Exactly. We live in a culture that is so conditioned to tell us what we're supposed to look like, how we're supposed to talk, how we're supposed to think, who we're supposed to be engaging with. It is so thick, and that it makes absolute sense that we would have challenges walking past that in order to tap into more of an authentic alignment with our purpose. But what we have to do is get really good at trailblazing, get really good at pioneering, get really good at being willing to lead the way rather than be the follower of the way things have always been done. And I'm a bit of a rebel. I have a rebel archetype within me that is very empowered and feisty. She likes to be a rebel, so she likes to look at things from new perspectives. She likes to give new definitions and things. When I'm working with my clients, I even give them new titles. I make up titles. Let's make up a new title for you so that we're not adopting or inheriting any of the old definition that might be around some of these words that we've been calling ourselves. So I love to play, and especially, a show about creativity, which I think a lot of your show is very much about, creativity, for creativity to really blossom and flow, and for us to innovate new ideas and bring forth solutions and answers, we really can't be following the way things have always been. We have to be willing to set aside all of those old beliefs or old definitions or old ways of being and establish what I would call new sacred agreements that are more in alignment with what we know ourselves to be and our authentic mission, our authentic purpose, our authentic voices. And we may not sound like somebody else, and we may not look like somebody else, and we may not take action like somebody else does, but we will be in alignment, and we will be feeling what brings great meaning to us. And so I think it's an important aspect. What we're talking about is breaking free of anything that's told us who we think we should be.
Exactly. And to be yourself, capital S self, instead of be who everybody told you to be.
It's so big, because even if, one of the practices that I do with my clients is I ask them to identify someone that inspires them. As an example, I might name Oprah Winfrey really inspires me. Michelle Obama really inspires me. But I do not. At the same time, I say to them, this exercise is not so that you can reflect and be exactly who Michelle Obama is or exactly who Oprah is. What we need to do is take it to the next level and ask what within them, what values within them move you, what feel right to you, and begin to see values played out in the lives of other people. But it doesn't mean that we're going to reflect the exact life that Michelle Obama has walked or the exact life that Oprah Winfrey has chosen for herself. What we're going to do is begin to identify the values or the inspiration that moves through them and how that feels to us, and then take that as a reflection to know that those are aspects of ourselves that are wanting to be maybe raise the bar on, or maybe we want to raise the level of that expression. And that's really what's important, is that we begin to see different aspects of different people, knowing, though, that as we culminate all of those different aspects of those values within ourselves, it's going to give birth to a more authentic you and me. It's going to give free up a more authentic expression. And that's what's important for us to remember, is that we don't have to look like someone else, and we definitely don't have to do it exactly like someone else has done it. If we did, we'd never be innovating new things. We'd never be bringing forth new ideas or new answers and solutions. We have to be able to break free and collaborate with our own inner calling of what we're here to create, and in the voice that we're here to create it through.
Right, in the voice that we're here to create through. And, you know, one of the things that you said is so true. It's like, pick the best qualities that inspire you of the different people that inspire you, whether it's Oprah or Michelle Obama or Louise Hay or Wayne Dyer or Tony Robbins or your mom or whoever it is. But, you know, I remember thinking a long time ago that you can't, problem is sometimes people think, oh, I want to be just like so-and-so. But, you know, we're all human, at least the people here on Earth, you know, before they transition and turn into spiritual beings in the sun or whatever. I call them angels in the sun. That's what I think my mom is an angel in the sun shining her love down on me.
That's beautiful.
But, you know, oh, thank you. But, you know, the thing is that because we're human, I mean, if you pick someone like Oprah or you pick someone like Michelle Obama or Louise Hay or whoever, I mean, there's going to be parts of what they're doing that are parts of your spirit saying, yeah, I want some of that. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember Carolyn Mace talking about one time about it's like we have this backpack. And we meet people and we have sacred contracts with them. She called it, in fact, sacred contracts, where you're supposed to meet these people, and each one has like a little part or maybe a bigger part of your spirit in there and what you're supposed to do. And so it helps you know what you're supposed to be doing here by meeting them. And some of them, the contract is to meet them in the grocery store line for a minute, and others it's meant to live with them or work with them for a long time, that sort of thing. And it sounds to me that this is part of what you do, is help the women realize the parts of these various people that inspire them that would get them their purpose, their passion, and their power to lead ignited. Is that true?
Is it somewhat? Yes, exactly. It's about, and first I want to say I love the work of Carolyn Mason. I love the idea that it can be that simple for us, is that we truly, and I think we said this earlier in the show, that the door can open and we can connect with someone that will be giving us and sharing a reflection of a part of ourselves that we've forgotten or denied. And I love that idea, mm-hmm. because I think it's absolutely the truth. And what it does, though, it requires that we do, which is much about what the sacred agreement is about awakening a mindfulness and an awareness, so that we're valuing the fact that we are connecting with people that are reflecting to us parts of ourselves, authentic parts of ourselves that we've either denied or we've undervalued or we've put over on the side. I was just writing this morning that, you know, those beliefs that become agreements within mm-hmm. us, many times the things that we hold, that we cherish the most, are the ones that we undervalue the most, which is mind-boggling to me, but because, I think it's because they become so natural. So imagine that some of the talents that you have are so natural. As an example, my mother, and she must be sitting here with us today, she's on my mind, but my mother could play the piano by ear, or she could just naturally sit down, hear a song, and sit at the piano keys and play the music. I don't know that she valued how profound a gift that was. That's a profound gift, to be able to listen mm-hmm. to music and then sit down and be able to play it. I think that many of us have gifts and talents like that are so natural to us that we forget about them and we've undervalued them. But indeed, what's happened is we've been equipped with these gifts and talents, these powers and all of these potentials, so that we can be the teachers of it or the sharers of that or the reflection of that to others. So what we have to do is pause and notice any of those beliefs that we have under, that we hold around our talents or around our gifts or around our what we our loves are, what our passions are, and are we undervaluing them in some way, and kind of shift the way we look at them. Talents that we've been equipped with are something that people are looking for. There's something that they're looking for us to share. There's a wisdom that we've been equipped with that perhaps others don't have. One of my mentors once said to me something that stuck with me, and this was a long, long, long time ago. But early in my journey, I did a lot of speaking in churches, and this one was by Dr. Sharon Stroud, and I was at Interfaith Ministries speaking in Palm Springs, and she took me aside right before I spoke, and she said to me, "Marsh, I want you to remember something. Just because you know it doesn't mean everyone in the world knows it. You've been equipped with the knowledge that's uniquely your own, that you're here to share so that others can experience it as well." And I say that not just to Marsh, but I say that to every single one of us. I can say that to every single one of my clients, every single one that's listening right now, is that we've been equipped with a knowledge or a talent or an insight or an ability, a capability, whatever it is. Maybe it's a healing gift. Maybe it's a healing modality. Maybe it's the way we speak that moves energy. Maybe it is a message that will awaken people. Whatever that is, we have to look at it from the eyes of what I was told that very day, is that just because we know it doesn't mean everybody else in the world does. And what that said to me is value what you're saying more. Value it because somebody else will value it. Somebody else, when they hear it and learn it or experience it, will hold great value for it. So when we can hold greater value, when we can hold those gifts and talents, those possibilities and those powers and gifts, when we can hold those in sacred agreement, that those are something that we've come in equipped with, that we're here to share, then we start to walk a little taller and a little stronger and a little more grounded in the direction of living our purpose and our passions. I mean, even as we're speaking about it, I can feel it ignited within me that there's things within me that maybe I've overlooked or undervalued that maybe today I'm going to start to enter into a sacred agreement with that says, you know what, I'm going to look at this from the eyes of a little bit more esteem. I'm going to hold this in a little bit more value. And when I'm speaking it or when I'm teaching it or when I'm encountering people or when I'm just out in the world loving, I'm going to allow it more, and I'm going to hold it in a higher light, not take it for granted or just dismiss it as something that's ordinary. I'm going to begin to value it because I've seen where it comes from, and I'm going to recognize that, and I'm going to hold that in sacred agreement.
Wow, I love that. You know, the time is going by incredibly fast. I think I'm now convinced that we need to do a longer show sometime soon because we only have a little over 6 minutes left. I can't believe this. And there's so much more that I want to hear from you and so much more I want to ask you. But before we get going farther into it, I want to ask the questions for my listeners so they can be thinking about this while you're talking about this. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limits and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. Oh, and Marsh, it just gives me chills thinking about how you're helping people answer these questions that I ask every time I do one of my shows. You're helping them live their music.
You know what? I believe it is more than anything. It's reflecting, and this is what we do for one another when we love each other, when we value each other, when we hold each other in high esteem, is that we reflect to one another our true potential. And when we can reflect to one another and we can see that light of a potential, that glimmer of potential through someone else, it ignites something within us that allows us then to value and honor it at a higher level. And when that happens, living our music becomes easy for us. It becomes effortless for us because we're coming from a place of high esteem around it. We're coming from a place of great honor. I think it was Joseph Campbell that said, the honor of a lifetime is living exactly who we are. And isn't that the truth? The honor lifetime is to live exactly who we are. And I'm not going to tell you it doesn't take courage. You know, if you ask the question, you know, how am I living my music and what new agreement am I willing to enter into today, is that I'm really desire to speak on stages a lot more than I've ever spoken before. And that requires that I allow myself preparation. It allows myself to find a greater confidence. It allows myself to receive it, just to open up, to be willing to receive it, meaning walk past any fear that I have that might be lingering there, any kind of story that I have that I might have told myself, walk past all of those things, put them over on the side, and allow myself to just be in complete service. And that's what I'm, that's my highest desire right now, to live my music in doing exactly that. And so it's requiring some shifts in the way I see myself, in the shifts the way I manage my health, in shifts in the way I invest my time and in my the level of community that I coach and the way I've structured my business. It's required in a very spiritual shift at the same time. So I think it's about knowing what it takes to live our music, identifying it, and then being willing to make the changes. Here's where, you know, sometimes there's a hiccup. Is it be willing to make the changes that are required for us to truly say yes to it? Because I guarantee you that if we decide that this is what we're going to do to live our music, the response will be there for us. The opportunities will be there for us. It's up to us to be willing to say yes to them.
Wow. You are so right. Wow. We're just, okay, we've only got 3 minutes left, and I have some other questions here that I wanted to ask you the answers to. But I think that since we only have that amount of time left, I think the main thing that I want to ask right now is, what advice do you have for our listeners?
Well, you know, I felt compelled to pull a sacred agreement and from the book. Would it be okay if I read the sacred agreements from the book? Because I think it's a beautiful one. It's about the power to create.
Okay.
And I just, the way the sacred agreement book is written is that you literally flip open a day, just a page in the book once a day, and you read what that agreement is, and then you enter into a sacred agreement that that's the agreement that you'll work that day, that you'll walk it that day, that you'll play with it that day, you'll experiment with it that day. And so this is the perfect one, I think. So the sacred agreement I own my own. Today I own my power to create. The wonderment is we have hidden it away, our purpose. It's buried in the gifts and talents that we've been taught to undervalue, underestimate, or simply deny. Doing this pushes us to secretly harbor ideas about how we would like to improve, create, or change. But we somehow never find the courage to act upon those ideas or take action to create them. To shake things up, we must get honest with ourselves about what we want from life. Once we declare this intention, it is so much harder to hide from the real power of our purpose. I think that's what we've been talking about today. It's about how can we set free, how can we liberate, how can we allow, you know, take down the walls that we've built around our what we've secretly held as wonderful dreams and ideas. How can we set those aside, those walls aside, and how can we begin to declare the intention that we're going to walk the talk of that and allow ourselves to experience exactly that, which would be our purpose.
And I think one of the answers to that is is to have a coach, someone like you, or a teacher that can help them. And that's what I hope I help my clients with also in my Creative Life Balance coaching as well. Now, your website is www.marshengel.com. Do you want to spell that for them just to make sure I don't want to get it wrong?
Yes, it is. It's my first name and my last name. My first name is Marsh, M-A-R-S-H. Last name is E-N-G-L-E. So it's Marsh Engel. www.thesacredagreements.com. And that's where you can connect with me. Also, you know I'm on Facebook and love to connect
and
with
Instagram
people on Facebook
too.
And definitely on Instagram and also on LinkedIn. Those are my Twitter as well, but where you're going to find me the most is Instagram and Facebook. Love to connect with you there. I do have a global group for the book club around the Sacred Agreements, which is a place that I interact and I do share insights and I do share my own experiences on there regularly every day. And it's a beautiful community and it's more intimate. My larger community is a great place to connect, but the Sacred Agreements Global Book Club is a great place because it's a more intimate community and we get to talk with each other there very easily.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. You know, we're out of time though, so I just loved hearing everything you have to say, and I'm so thankful that I was inspired to buy your book on Kindle, and now I need to get the real book of it so that I can do what you said and just flip it open to a page. And
well, you can order it on my website, and I'll sign it, autograph it, and send it out to you personally with your name on it. And you can just go to my website, or you could, yes, I'd love that.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate having you on, and oh, everybody, get that book. Get that book, check Marsh out, and live your music, everybody. You're doing it, Marsh, and thank you for how you're helping other people do it. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, bye for now, everyone. Live your music. Bye, Marsh.